VOA's Joe Ramsey with this worldwide news update. U.S. President Donald Trump's special envoy to Ukraine and Russia visited Kyiv on Wednesday, a day after high-level U.S. and Russian talks in Saudi Arabia. The diplomatic move comes as the American president and his Ukrainian counterpart both lashed out at each other over the war's origins and plans to end it. VOA's Arash Arvasadi has more.
U.S. Special Envoy for Ukraine and Russia Keith Kellogg's visit comes on the heels of U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio's meeting with his Russian counterpart in Saudi Arabia's capital, Riyadh. Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine nearly 3 years ago. But this week, President Trump seemed to imply that Kyiv was to blame for the conflict while dismissing Ukraine's lack of representation in Riyadh.
But today I heard, oh, well, we weren't invited. Well, you've been there for 3 years. You should have ended it 3 years. You should have never started it. You could have made a deal.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky addressed Trump's comments in Kyiv.
We have seen this disinformation. We understand it comes from Russia. Unfortunately, President Trump, with great respect for him as a leader of the American people, lives in this disinformation space.
Trump later Wednesday took to his social media platform to call Zelensky a dictator, claiming he has single-digit approval ratings at home despite internal Ukrainian polling showing his favorability over 50%. Zelensky says he'd like Trump's team to hear more truth about Ukraine as the soldiers combat advancing Russian forces. A NATO official recently predicted Moscow would increase the pace and intensity of its assaults amid talks to end the war. Arash Arvasadi, VOA News.
This is VOA News. European leaders warn that the outcome of ongoing peace talks between Moscow and Washington will have profound implications for the whole of Europe as Russia's war on Ukraine enters its fourth year. Henry Ridgewell reports.
Russia's tanks rolled across the Ukrainian border 3 years ago this month, triggering the worst conflict on European soil since World War II. On the frozen front lines, the war grinds on as Russia's forces edge forward. But behind the scenes, the geopolitical forces that are shaping the conflict appear to be changing fast. Russia and the United States began peace talks this week in Saudi Arabia. Ukraine and Europe have not been invited. Britain and France have already said they may be willing to contribute a peacekeeping force in Ukraine. It's estimated that would require at least 100,000 troops. There are deep concerns over the potential risks. The U.S. Defense Secretary has said that European security will no longer be a priority, and Washington is demanding NATO allies increase their defense spending. Hard decisions with profound implications for Europe, says British Defense Secretary John Healey.
The decisions that we make right now over the coming weeks will not only define the outcome of the conflict in Ukraine, but the security of our world for a generation to come.
Many in the region fear those decisions are being made by others, and Europe isn't in the room. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul slammed the Trump administration on Wednesday for revoking approval of New York City's congestion pricing program designed to reduce traffic and raise funds for public transit improvements. Reuters correspondent Jillian Kitchener reports.
New York City's congestion pricing program charges most drivers $9 to enter much of Manhattan in an effort to reduce traffic.
It feels like the commuters of our city and our region are now the roadkill on Donald Trump's revenge tour against New York.
In a Truth Social post, President Trump said, quote, "Congestion pricing is dead. Manhattan and all of New York is saved. Long live the king."
We are not subservient to a king or anyone else out of Washington.
Transit officials say the program has cut commuting times and that subway ridership has grown since the toll was introduced.
Reuters correspondent Jillian Kitchener. That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, voanews.com. I'm Joe Ramsey. VOA News.
America. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barton in Washington. Today is Thursday, February 20, and here are some of the stories we are covering. The Democratic Republic of Congo has reportedly asked Chad for military support amid new gains by M23 rebels.
I believe it's a serious development because we are getting closer to the so-called regional war.
Amnesty International and other human rights organizations plan to hold a protest march in support of Ugandan opposition leader Kizza Besigye. Analysts say Russian disinformation fuels the French troop withdrawal from the Sahel. Remembering a longtime VOA colleague, Lisa Schwein, who passed away this week. Solar refrigerators in Kenya are helping save food waste. Malawi's parliamentary speaker suspends lawmakers amid a debate over President Chakwera's alleged lies.
We, the people of Blantyre City Southeast, are demanding that the president should tender his resignation immediately, failing which this house should move to impeach the president.
And a U.S. envoy visits Kiev, Ukraine, as President Trump and Zelensky exchange barbs. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC, has reportedly asked Chad for military support in its effort to contain M23 rebels. According to Reuters News Agency, a special envoy of President Felix Tshisekedi visited Chad this week to meet with its military leader, Idriss Deby Itno. Meanwhile, M23 rebels have captured Uvira, the second major city of South Kivu. This as the African Union-led peace process, led by Angolan President João Lourenço, seeks renewed energy. Veteran Angolan independent journalist Mario Pavai tells me that if the report about Chad is correct, it will be a serious move toward turning the DRC conflict into an Africa-wide one.
I believe it's a serious development because we are getting closer to the so-called regional war, despite we already have got different regional forces involved, like the Rwandan forces. We are aware that the Burundi forces, due to an agreement with Rwanda, are going out of DRC territory, but because M23 are making fast advances, in particular in Kivu region. I believe if this continues, they can go sooner or later for other regions. And because the situation in Kinshasa is so unstable, even in other regions of DRC, there are different kind of paramilitary groups. I think this is a quite serious development. But I believe the situation is more dangerous because African Union is more or less paralyzed. I don't see any real development on the ground, either by the Nairobi process and more or less than the Luanda process.
That's what I want to ask you, Manuel. The African Union just concluded its summit, and the president of Angola was the mediator, or is the mediator. He's now the chairman of the African Union. Now, President Tshisekedi was this week in Angola. What do you think came out of that meeting in terms of the peace process?
The situation is really complex, because now Tshisekedi, the DRC official government, is right now in a very weak position. He, until now, he doesn't want to negotiate directly with the M23 and even with Paul Kagame. So I believe before maybe we get a more balanced situation in military terms in DRC, we could not see negotiations. Apart from that, we need a clear, more stronger pressure on Kigali. So until now, apart from Belgium, we can see not clear positions condemning Rwanda, but also just things that could press like some kind of sanctions or so. So I can see in the near future some kind of negotiations. Before we get closer to negotiation table, we will see, of course, the worsening of the military and humanitarian situations in DRC. But as I said before, as this war is becoming more regional, we are in a real danger that this conflict can expand to another borders and involve different terms other countries, because the DRC is a huge country. It is not easy to take the things under control. So it's a quite serious situation right now in DRC and in the region.
That was Mario Pava, a veteran independent Angolan journalist. He was speaking with us from the Angolan capital, Luanda. The Speaker of Malawi's Parliament has suspended five lawmakers from attending deliberations. This after chaos erupted when legislators accused President Lazarus Chakwera of lying to Parliament over projects completed during his 4 years in office. In his State of the Nation address last Friday, President Chakwera highlighted the success of various projects which opposition lawmakers said never existed. However, in his video statement released Wednesday night, Chakwera said he will clarify his comments on Friday. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Order in the house. Everyone should go back to your seat.
Chaos began after a lawmaker for the opposition Democratic Progressive Party, or DPP, Samia Suleiman, told Parliament that the president should be impeached for lying to Parliament. He was reacting to President Chakwera's State of the Nation address made in Parliament Friday, highlighting the success of projects under his administration. In his speech, for example, President Chakwera mentioned various districts where he said his administration had constructed houses for police officers. However, some district authorities told local media that they mentioned the police houses were at a foundation level. Suleiman told the Parliament Tuesday that this has made people lose trust in the president and his office.
Therefore, Madam Second Deputy Speaker, we the people of Blantyre City Southeast are demanding that the president should tender his resignation immediately, failing which this house should move to impeach the president who came to give this house untrue stories.
Suleiman's remarks did not go well with members of parliament on the government side, like lawmaker Christopher Manja, who moved from his seat and took off his jacket in anger. Manja's conduct did not amuse the second deputy speaker of parliament, Aisha Adams.
You cannot take off your jacket here, threatening others. For that reason, I invoke section 105 on you, Sergeant at Arms. I want him to leave the chamber. He will be back after 3 days. I rule so.
However, chaos escalated when the suspended lawmaker, Manja, supported by three fellow lawmakers, refused to leave parliament, forcing Speaker Adams to abruptly curtail the deliberations.
Honorable member for Salima South, you can't threaten me. I've made a ruling, you have to go out. Your threat will not hold water, honorable. Honorable members, I suspend the house for 30 minutes. House suspended.
After the resumption, Adams also suspended for 2 days three lawmakers who supported Manja in his effort to defy her order. Adams also put lawmaker Suleiman on a 2-day suspension for leaving his seat for the government side for an anticipated fight with his opponents. However, Malawi President Chakwera said what he said in parliament was true. In his video statement Wednesday night, Chakwera said he will clarify the contents of his State of the Nation address on Friday.
At 2:30 p.m. this Friday, February 21st, I'll be having a Facebook and X town hall meeting with the youth of Malawi to discuss their stake in over 500 nationwide developments that I've outlined in my State of the Nation address.
Also, the Office of the President and Cabinet announced this week that cabinet ministers will soon hold public meetings to clarify statements about development projects mentioned in Chakwera's address. For VOA Africa, I am Lamek Masina in Blantyre.
You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Thursday, February 20. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Amnesty International and other human rights organizations will hold a protest march at the Uganda High Commission in Nairobi on Monday, February 24. They will protest the Uganda government's continued detention of opposition leader Dr. Kizza Besigye, despite a Supreme Court ruling against Besigye's trial in military court. The groups will also march to the Kenyan National Assembly to call on the Kenyan government to investigate and end alleged abduction in Kenya. Roland Ebola is an Amnesty International regional researcher for Uganda and Tanzania. He tells me the groups will demand the immediate release of Dr. Kizza Besigye, whose health is said to be declining in prison.
Amnesty International and other groups would like to present petitions to the Uganda Embassy or the High Commissioner of Uganda in Nairobi, but also to the Parliament here in Kenya, because then the Kenyan civil society organizations, the human rights groups in Kenya, are still concerned about the cases of abduction that have been happening in Kenya, more particularly cross-border forms of repression where we've seen foreigners abducted on the Kenyan soil and renditions of these foreigners to their country or some form of forcing them back to their country without following a proper extradition procedures.
What do you make of the developments Wednesday about Dr. Besigye appearing before the judge and being sent back to prison?
This, to me, is basically what we've been talking about, where we see these cases as highly political and not, as somebody mentioned, we do not see a situation where Besigye will get justice in this manner. We suspect that, and this is as somebody mentioned, that, you know, the executive picked their courts, they picked their judges, and picked their time. They were not ready to hear and determine the application today. But they just wanted to kind of rectify the legality of their actions, where they wanted to continue detaining the three, including Kizza Besigye, without a warrant. We see a situation whereby the judge requested or ordered for written submissions and ordered for the three to be taken back to prison and did not even give a date, the next date of when to appear to court. And meanwhile, as I've told you, there is another parallel political process whereby the NRM is meeting to discuss particular UPDF topics. So we make that this is political. Of course, there is interference, you know, of the judiciary by the executive. The executive is not really being independent in making some of these decisions, and we are really concerned about that.
Although Dr. Besigye and his co-defendant were abducted in Kenya, what would be the purpose now of the protest before the Kenyan parliament?
Basically, the reality of things is that there is no form of abduction whereby a top politician, an opposition politician, is taken from a property in Kenya, are driven for hours, probably more than 6 hours, crossing a border, and Kenyan is not aware about it. This goes to similar abductions that have happened now of even Kenyan nationals where the state has denied responsibility. But we have had the president coming out and saying that we will stop these abductions. And people have argued that you cannot stop what you have not started. I'm saying this because we have a national police service, we've got a national intelligence service, we've got a directorate of criminal investigation, that the abduction started in Kenya in June last year. So on the Kenyan authorities, basically, and going to the Parliament of Kenya, we will be going to the Committee on Defense and Human Rights specifically to petition them for the state, one, to acknowledge that abduction and renditions have been committed in Kenya, potentially constituting crimes under international law, and to be promptly, thoroughly, and impartially investigated and those suspected to be prosecuted.
Roland Ebola is the Amnesty International Regional Researcher for Uganda and Tanzania. He was speaking with us from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Analysts say Russian propaganda and disinformation campaigns have been key factors behind the departure of French troops from Chad and other countries in Africa's Sahel region. In this report from N'Djamena, Chad, Henry Wilkins takes a closer look at Russia's media strategies in the Sahel as French troops depart.
Chad's military, seen here in late January, is marking the departure of French troops from the country after more than 60 years. At the ceremony, Chadian President Mohamed Idriss Deby said the departure was a new dawn for a fully sovereign Chad. But analysts say a Russian propaganda campaign in the region played a key role in the French troops' departure. Bakary Sambe is with the Timbuktu Institute.
Russia is leveraging this colonial history and anti-imperialist sentiment to fuel resentment among young Africans, public opinion, and even influencers against French interests and France's presence in the Sahel.
Chad is the latest of four countries in the Sahel, alongside Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, to have asked French troops to leave over the last 2 years. All have, at the same time, welcomed in Russian troops. Experts like Sambe say Russia uses a network of fake social media accounts to amplify anti-French narratives and spread conspiracy theories. Russia has also set up cultural institutes across the Sahel in the last 2 years.
For decades, Western countries have opened cultural institutes in African capitals to share their culture, to spread their language, and ultimately their soft power.
But unlike other cultural institutes, investigative reporters say the Russian houses also train journalists who then go on to spread propaganda. Russia's embassy in Chad and the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs did not respond to requests for comment. But why is Russia so focused on the Sahel? Constantin Guvi is with the Klingendael Institute in the Netherlands.
So through the disinformation campaigns, Russia's goal has been mostly to sow chaos in the region. And so Russia wants to come in and essentially replace states like France as the new primary partner for these Sahelian states.
Sambe says,
c'est-à-dire que la démarche de la Russie, c'est justement pour dire aux Occidentaux et aux
Russia's approach is to send a message to the West, particularly NATO countries like France, saying if you create geopolitical problems for us in the Donbass or in Europe, we will retaliate in your sphere of influence, the Sahel. This essentially translates as the conflict onto Sahelian territory.
On the streets of N'Djamena, it's clear the public believes French troops leaving Chad is a positive step for the country.
We know that France does not come with any benefit to us, so it's not necessary for them to stay in our country. They should leave.
Since France's troops began leaving the Sahel in 2022, fatalities due to conflict in the region, mostly from clashes between state armies and jihadists, have gone up by 65%, according to data from the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. Henry Wilkins, VOA News, N'Djamena.
A Kenyan startup business is helping people prone to power outages preserve food with solar-powered refrigerators. The devices can keep food cool for up to 4 days without electricity, even with limited sunlight. Victoria Amunga reports from Nairobi.
Milk and egg vendor Caroline Mukundi has lost a lot of her stock in her years of selling fresh food at a Nairobi market. Mukunda says she had no way to keep food fresh and the cost of refrigerating was out of reach. She says the food will go bad. In my case, the milk. I could not keep it in a cool place. I also could not order a lot of products. It was a big challenge for me because they would all rot and I had to throw them all away. Mukunda says her trade turned around when she acquired a solar-powered refrigerator. The refrigerators, named Coolbox and manufactured in Kenya, are fitted with ice compartments that can chill food even without a source of power. The chief business officer at Coolbox, Natalie Casey, says customers can buy the fridges on customized payment model.
They can be between $1,500 up to $3,000 because it includes not only the appliance, but also the solar panels and battery storage to enable that continuous cooling. What we've decided might be more accessible to them is to first pay a down payment between 20 and 35% of the total, and then the customers can pay in installments of up to 24 months.
The refrigerator was among dozens of innovations showcased at the recent Africa Tech Summit in Nairobi. The conference's founder, Andrew Fasnij, told VOA that such creations are crucial in solving local problems on the continent.
What's interesting about these guys who are doing Coolbox and refrigeration is if we look at the COVID vaccines, one of the biggest issues at the time was refrigeration. And it's still an issue in most markets.
A 2024 survey by the UN Environmental Programme shows Kenya is among countries with high levels of food waste. According to the survey, annual food wastage ranges between 40 and 100 kilograms per person. Environmentalists say high levels of organic waste worsen climate change, so solutions that prevent food waste can have a big impact. Here is the Centre for Environmental Justice and Development Programme Manager, Dorothy Otieno.
We're looking at, for example, how can businesses be supported to get access to this, especially for communities that are not able to afford it, because, you know, we're looking at fridges ranging from 11,000, they go all the way to the hundreds and even more, and some businesses, especially the small businesses, are not able to afford it.
At least 7,000 Coolbox solar fridges have been sold so far, and officials believe that with such innovations, a lot less milk and many fewer eggs will have to be thrown away. Victoria Amunga, VOA News, Nairobi.
We would like to take a moment here to remember a longtime VOA colleague, Lisa Schlein, who passed away a few days ago in Geneva. Many of you listening to our programs know Lisa as a dedicated journalist covering the United Nations. She brought to the world the news about the UN, the World Health Organization, UNICEF, the World Food Program, and many other agencies important to listeners around the globe. Lisa reported for VOA from Geneva for more than three decades. We at VOA will miss her professionalism, her dedication, and her friendship. That is it for this Thursday, February 20th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for coming aboard with us this morning. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Barton, Washington, saying, have a great day, but please, be safe, whatever you do.
Host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic style and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays.